This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon. Plenty to talk about down in the Championship. Plenty of action over the next couple of nights. A full round of fixtures. This afternoon, our focus will be on Leeds. They have a big game at Elland Road tonight up against West Brom. We'll also talk about Huddersfield, who've got a massive game tonight away at Stoke. Danny Cowley looking for his first win. We'll also be talking about Luton, who are up against Millwall tomorrow night. And we'll also be talking about Middlesbrough after their devastating defeat to Sheffield Wednesday on the weekend. They're in action tonight against Preston. If you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Lodsport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. This is the Championship Fan Show. So plenty to talk about in this hour. As I said, if you want to get in contact with us, give your views on your club starts the season and this week's round of fixtures, course on 0208 70 20 558. And one man that has done that this afternoon is Mitchell. He's a Leeds United season ticket holder. Thank you very much for calling us this afternoon. It's a big game tonight for you, Mitchell, at home against West Brom. And Leeds' home form hasn't exactly been great at Elland Road this season.
No, hi there, first of all. Yeah, like I say, it's certainly not great. And to be quite honest with you, they could surprise a few tonight. I think, you know, last time we were facing West Brom, we had issues against QPR where we couldn't find the back of the net. And we lost 1-0 in the midweek game. And then we came and, you know, we powerhoused West Brom. So sometimes it can go either way. You know, we could end up playing really well tonight and good football. Scoring plenty of goals, or it could just carry on the same, you know, the same repetitiveness in how we're missing the target. And Bamford, you know, who for me isn't a striker, I think he'd suit a number 10 role more because his general play is pretty good, but he hasn't got that instinctiveness about him where he needs to be in the box, you know, a bit like a Billy Sharp or a Dwight Gayle, where he needs to be there at them moments where it's going to be crucial and we need to get them, you know, them goals that are going to be massive come end of the season. I just don't think we've got that about us at the minute.
And just finally then, Mitchell, one man that won't play tonight is Pablo Hernandez. He's been a crucial player under Bielsa. How big a miss is he going to be tonight?
Not a very big one. I don't think he's been playing that well, to be quite honest with you. I think he's shown over the last few weeks that he just looks like he's lost it to me for now. I think that's just a fatigue more than anything. You know, he's played a lot of football and I don't like talking about age too much because obviously when Leeds went up in the 1990, when they went up, I think Gordon Strachan was 40, and I'm sure Sergeant Wilco actually said, you know, age is just a number. You know, I don't think sometimes as such you can bring that into fact, but I think the way Bielsa works him, it's too hard, and I think Bielsa's shown far too much stubbornness over the last few weeks. I think he needs to start changing things up a little bit. I know it's more the fact that we're just not scoring goals and the play's pretty good, but there's clearly something not quite right in there. So I'm hoping tonight, you know, Eddie Nketiah gets a start. Helder Costa needs to perform because I thought against Charlton very poor. Looked very agile and very, very sheepish on the ball. He just didn't seem himself from what I saw. And, you know, we need to bounce back. I think the most important for me thing is, you know, bouncing back from that difficult away game at Charlton where we just didn't seem ourselves after 30 minutes and the goal kind of shot us in the back foot, really. So fingers crossed that tonight we can pull something out of the bag and push this promotion race on. But there's still a lot of work to do.
Thank you very much for your call this afternoon, Mitchell. That was Mitchell, the Leeds United season ticket holder. If you want to get in contact with us to share your views on your club, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're going to continue our chat about the huge game in the Championship tonight, Leeds against West Brom at Elland Road. I'm delighted to say that Keith Ingham, co-owner of the Leeds blog site We All Love Leeds, joins us this afternoon. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Keith. Before we look ahead to that big game, looking back at last weekend, a 1-0 loss away at Charlton on the weekend, how disappointing was that? Or considering that Charlton had made a solid start to the season, was that actually a tougher game than maybe some people would have anticipated?
Charlton made a great start to the season, six unbeaten in six and then lost two. But if the most annoying thing about sort of like if you look at all the majority of games, in fact nearly all games, in every game we could have won every one. We could be unbeaten. We straight win with the amount of chances we create, and that's his Achilles heel. We've two Achilles heel, to be honest. We can't score enough goals. We have to score two goals to win a game, because we'll always look like we're conceding because we're poor at set pieces. And Bielsa's had this team for quite a long time now, and you think that's something what can be stamped out straight away by just continuing on the training pitch and just watching your marker and watching your player. You know, it's not rocket science, it's football. It's quite simple. And as long as you score more than them, you win. And at the moment, we're failing to do that.
One of the comments that Marcelo Bielsa made after last weekend's game and looking ahead to this one is about his desire for his side to score more goals. You're perhaps suggesting actually the problem is more a case of conceding them at the other end rather than scoring them.
I think it's both. I think I've been lucky enough to see quite a few games this season, and in most games we should have scored two or three goals and we just don't do it. And the longer you go on with the 1-0 lead, Derby showed it, and the old match before it when Swansea pinched it in the last minute, if you don't put that possession into goals, a team will sort of like think, we've got a chance here, we've got a foothold. And that's what both Swansea and Derby did. So it's both ends. The goal against Charlton, I don't like blaming players, but that was Casilla's fault. You know, that's a tame shot, what should have been taken into his middle, and that should have been cleared up there. It were a poor decision, and it comes on the back of a bit of an indifferent performance against Derby. We all know he's got a bit of a click in him, and he always will, because he's that kind of keeper. But it's kind of worrying that both ends at pitch, we just start off firing all cylinders. I don't think we're not far off. We need a couple of home wins. If a win against West Brom today and the next home game, you know, to win that. I think we've won one game out of nine since that horrible night in May. So that's the problem. You know, we just need to win a couple of home games, because you can feel it, you can taste it. When the goals aren't going in, people start getting nervous, and that nervousness seems to be going on pitch. And, you know, it just sometimes would go a little bit flat.
In your view then, Keith, why is it that Leeds have such a poor recent record at home at Elland Road? Is it that fear factor, perhaps lack of confidence that was there 6 months ago, let's say, or is it a more technical thing on the field, making mistakes defensively, not being as solid as they should be?
I think it's a hangover from that playoff semi-final defeat. And I think if it doesn't go right within the first 20 minutes, fans start getting a little bit edgier. And it obviously, I mean, it's a big theatre to play, and you've got to have, you've got to be big enough to do it. These players are, they've proved it over one of their quarter seasons, that'd be good enough. At the moment, we're just struggling at home. You know, it's strange really, because usually if you pick your home, if you pick home points up and you get a few points away, that's promotion form. But we've been doing it the other way around. We've been winning, apart from Charlton, away from home. But as home form seems to be, a couple of home wins starting tonight, we'll get back. And how we get that home win is, Bielsa, although he's been very loyal to these the players who started, he's got to change things about. You know, we've got Ayling hopefully back fit. He could go in at right back. Dallas could switch over to left back. We've got an option up front with Nketiah instead of Bamford, because I like Bamford. He does a lot of work for a club, but in this business, you're judged on goals. And just at the moment, it's just not happening for him. So I think Nketiah could go on. Of course, they had a poor game against Charlton, but let's face it, sometimes you need a run of your team to get accustomed to how a team plays. You need a run inside. And another option is Tyler Roberts at 10, and bring Tyler Roberts in, because he showed at Charlton, even though he came on as a substitute in his first game, that he had a little bit of something different about him.
Tonight's
I think we'll be all right.
Sorry, Keith. Tonight's opponents then for Leeds is West Brom. They are unbeaten, the only unbeaten side left in the Championship. Is this an opportunity then for Leeds, despite their recent record at home, which hasn't been great, for them to make a statement, not only get a win, their first win in a while at Elland Road, but actually a big win against one of the sides that is most hotly tipped to get promoted into the Premier League?
Without doubt, West Brom will be in that. They'll be in that top three, without a doubt. Even though they've lost a lot of players this summer and they've recruited some, Billich will have them firing, and they look a good side, a good solid side. And obviously, if you beat one of your main rivals, it's one of those six-pointer games, and you know you hopefully can kick on. We've got a tough week this week. We've had Charlton, now we've got West Brom on tonight, and then we've got Gordon and Bermondsey. Not the easiest place, so we could do with a win tonight, and I think we'll get one.
And just finally, then, you've intimated it there. Will Leeds get 3 points at home and knock off West Brom off their perch and mean that there are no longer any unbeaten sides left in the Championship?
I don't think it'll be a 4-0 or a 4-1 like the two home games were last season for respective clubs. I'd be happy with a 1-0 win, but I think we have to just concentrate. We have to back the fans out there. Have just got to back the players. Don't get nervous. Just keep singing, and I'm sure tonight we'll get 3 points.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Keith. That was Keith Ingham, co-owner of the Leeds blog site. We all love Leeds. Looking ahead to that massive game in the Championship, it's at Elland Road, a 7:45 kickoff. Leeds against West Brom. West Brom, as I mentioned, the only unbeaten side left in the Championship. They're on 19 points, 1 point clear at the top. Leeds currently in fourth, so a win and all 3 points for Leeds United will take them up to 20 points and above their opponents tonight. One bit of good news off the field for Leeds fans is that fullback Luke Ayling has signed a new 4-year contract. The 28-year-old has made more than 100 appearances since joining from Bristol City in August 2016. He becomes the fourth Leeds player to commit his long-term future to the club following new deals for Liam Cooper, Stuart Dallas and Calvin Phillips. He's hoping to return from injury to feature for the first time this season tonight in that game against West Brom. That's Leeds United against West Brom at Elland Road tonight at 7:45. If you want to get in contact with us about that big game tonight or any of the other Championship games, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Loughborough Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We're going to turn our attention to another side up in the North East, up in Yorkshire. That is Huddersfield. Danny Cowley still looking for his first win as the Huddersfield manager. It's a massive, massive game at the Bet365 tonight. Stoke v Huddersfield, the bottom two sides in the Championship. So a big game for Danny Cowley. So we'll be talking all things Huddersfield next.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. Plenty of Championship action to be looking forward to tonight. As we mentioned, that big game up at Elland Road. Leeds host West Brom, so a massive, massive game there. Blackburn host Nottingham Forest. Hull are up against Sheffield Wednesday. Middlesbrough play Preston. Wigan v Birmingham. Reading against Fulham. And Stoke versus Huddersfield, and that's the game we're going to be looking at next. A huge game at the Bet365. I don't think you can emphasise enough how big a game this is and how important a game it is for both sides for different reasons, actually. Even though they are both right down at the bottom of the table, the bottom two sides, both on 2 points, for Stoke and Danny Jones, Nathan Jones, this feels like the be-all and end-all now, that if he doesn't get a win tonight, I think he will be gone. I think that will be the end of the line as the Stoke manager. Then, conversely, you look at it from a Huddersfield point of view. Danny Cowley has only recently come in. It's a big game for him as well, because he's still looking for his first win as the Huddersfield manager. And I think it's a really sensible pick, and I'm surprised that no one in the Championship gave him a chance earlier than this. But Huddersfield decided, obviously, that Jan Sievert wasn't their man very, very early on in the season. They then took a while to make the appointment, and finally it was Danny Cowley that was that man that was chosen to replace Jan Sievert. Obviously, they've had quite a few managers now in the last few months. It was David Wagner going back to last season. Mark Hudson took over on a temporary basis for a few games. Then Jan Sievert. Then it was one win in 17 as the Huddersfield manager. They then decided quickly at the start of this season that he wasn't the man. Mark Hudson then took over again temporarily. And it was Danny Cowley, who did such a great job at Lincoln, this man tasked with getting Huddersfield out of the situation they're currently in at the moment. But that game, we can talk about Leeds versus West Brom in terms of the quality of the game is the biggest game of the weekend. Biggest game of the night between Leeds and West Brom. But that game at the Bet365, I think, has much bigger ramifications, could have a much more significant impact on what is to come over the next few months. As I said, I'm surprised, even after Stoke's lost to Nottingham Forest last Friday, that they lost 3-2, that Nathan Jones didn't lose his job. And it feels like he is running on thin ice. And for Huddersfield, obviously, they've already made that change. Danny Cowley is the new manager. He's looking to get that monkey off his back, that first win as the Huddersfield manager. And he'll be hoping maybe this is an opportune time to play Stoke, who still are yet to sack their manager and have kept with Nathan Jones. I'm sure our next guest will have plenty of views on this game. As Stoke beat Huddersfield, I'm delighted to say that Neil Wayne from the And He Takes That Chance podcast joins us this afternoon. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Neil. Just one quick question. I said before the break that another club in the northeast, we were talking about Leeds, and now we're talking about Huddersfield. And my producer, who's up from Newcastle, said Huddersfield is not up in the northeast. What's your view on that, Neil? Is Huddersfield in the northeast?
No.
There we go. You said it definitively. I will accept that now. It is not in the northeast. It's in Yorkshire. That's exactly what Laurie said. Let's take a head then to this game, Neil. Who is it a more important game for? Is it Nathan Jones and Stoke because his job is right on the line, or Danny Cowley because he's still looking to get that monkey off his back?
I think it's equally important for both. I mean, take the managerial situations out of it. Both clubs are in dire straits. It's not looking great. And I think if there is a winner tonight, I'd go as far as to say that the other one's pretty much doomed, to be honest.
Looking back then at last weekend's game, it was a 1-1 draw at home against Millwall. How did you view that game, Neil? Was it a positive step in the right direction, or are there still a lot of things that Danny Cowley's going to have to get right at Huddersfield?
There's a lot of work to be done. I mean, it was a step forward. We didn't lose. That was nice. I think we should have put on pattern of play, a draw was probably fair. Millwall had a couple of good chances. We let another soft goal in. I mean, the keeper with a terrible error, letting Millwall back into it after we'd actually done well first half. Nice to see Fraser Campbell get off the mark, which I think is important for both the club and for him. We should have had... I'm not one for claiming penalties, because it's hard to judge, but when you've seen them back, we should have had at least one. Will that change our season not getting it? Possibly. Would it have changed the season getting it? I think almost definitely. So I just think going into tonight, it's absolutely huge. It's sort of on a par with, and I don't want to try and overstate it, I mean, sort of 10 games in, but this for us is probably on a par with when we went to Chelsea and needed to not lose to stay up in the Premier League, and we got a result that night. Will we get a result tonight? We'll find out in a few hours.
One of the things that Danny Cowley has said since he took over was that there'd been perhaps this Huddersfield squad had forgotten how to win. That obviously when you're on a winning run, yeah, it becomes easier to win. When you're on a losing run, yeah, conversely, it can just spitball and just become worse and worse and worse. Is that perhaps, looking back at last weekend's game against Millwall, was that maybe the only difference between winning that game and only pick up the point like they did, was that mentality of just getting over the line?
Yes, I think that's a massive part of it. I mean, speaking about the Cows, they've been very, very impressive since they've come in. They're saying all the right things. You can definitely see an improvement on the pitch. I'm not saying it's massive, but it's definitely an improvement. It's tough. It's really, really tough because obviously we're on the back of probably 18 months of struggling in the Premier League. And then to start off this season like this, it is like the losing is sort of ingrained in the mentality. And I think the quicker we can get a win, I mean, tonight would just be huge, simply because it would sort of leave Stoke a bit stranded. I think if Town do win tonight, I think it would be the end of Nathan Jones. I don't think there's a way back from him losing if he loses to us. My only worry is that we're almost always historically sort of the team that you want to play if you want to save your job. So let's hope that doesn't follow through.
One man that made his debut for Huddersfield on the weekend was Danny Simpson. Obviously, he's won a Premier League title with Leicester, was at Manchester United before then. Does that make a lot of sense as kind of a free agent, a really sensible signing for you? He's from up in that part of, up in the north. So does that make, as a signing, especially as Huddersfield are not having to pay a transfer fee for him, does that make a lot of sense? Quite a lot of Premier League experience coming into this squad.
Absolutely. I think it's a cracking bit of business, to be honest. I've spoken on the show before about my sort of disdain for the previous incumbent at right back. He's been less than solid, is probably the kindest way to put it. He's been awful. Danny Simpson, proven quality. Yeah, it's, three, 4 years since Leicester won the league, but you don't lose that now. He's not sort of ingrained with the losing mentality. He looked probably half a yard short on Saturday, but it's, by looking half a yard short, he still looked about five yards in front of our previous right-back, Flo Adegbenaye. So all in all, yeah, positive signing, very positive signing. He can only be a good influence, and the Cal has already spoken well about his influence on the dressing room already. So hopefully that'll carry into tonight.
Do you think, Neil, had Stoke made the change and had got a new manager looking for that bounce that, we've seen at Sheffield Wednesday with Gary Monk, do you think it would have been a harder game had maybe Stoke pulled the trigger in the last few weeks and changed than the situation that Stoke are in, where Nathan Jones only won 4 in 33 times as the Stoke manager? Is this a game that Danny Cowley will be secretly, without wanting to publicly admit it, is a game that he's really looking at and thinking, we can just put that final nail in the coffin for Nathan Jones at Stoke?
I think they've got to be thinking like that. You know, the Town have got to go out there tonight. If we score first, that place, it could turn toxic for Stoke. I think Stoke fans will be caught in a bit of almost two minds. They obviously won't want to lose to us. But I think on the flip side of that, there'll definitely be some of them thinking that if they do lose to us, hopefully that would be sort of the final nail for Nathan Jones. I know he's not exactly Mr. Popular down there. So it's a big one for Town tonight. I think we've got to get out there and really get at Stoke early on. Don't let them get a chance to get the crowd behind them, because it is, you know, it can be very loud down there. It can be quite a volatile atmosphere at Stoke. So we certainly don't want, we need to be quietening them down early doors. But we're not exactly great at that at the moment. So it's going to be, it's a tough one. I mean, it's got draw written all over it, and an awful draw to boot. But, you know, I'd take an own goal last minute off somebody's backside, to be fair.
And one positive for Huddersfield this season has been the form of Carlin Grant. We've spoken a few occasions about his impressive form. He actually ended last season, came in January, did okay actually in the Premier League, scored 4 goals towards the end of last season, yeah, has scored 5 goals already this season, 1 assist. Even though there are a lot of things that Danny Carr needs to improve on and areas of this squad that need to be worked on, Carl and Grant up front is surely a big positive, not just a positive, but a big positive to take from the start of this season.
Yeah, Grant's been excellent. I mean, he showed in the sort of dozen games that he had in the Premier League that he definitely got something about him. To score four goals in a team that didn't score goals was a great return. And he started off this season, 5-9, which is, it's very, very impressive. And he's actually played the last two games on the left-hand side of a three. So with Fraser Campbell being the central man, and within that, in the last two games, he's scored at West Brom and then created Fraser Campbell's goal on Saturday. So, he's been a threat from whichever angle he's coming from. So long may that continue. The biggest fear that we've got as Huddersfield fans is that if his form does continue and we're sort of stranded and looking doomed by January, that Carl and Grant could well be on his way. But, if that happens, that means we're getting a lot of money for him.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Neil.
Pleasure,
that,
mate.
That was Neil Wayne from the And He Takes That Chance podcast. Neil always gives us pretty honest assessments of where Huddersfield are at. Not necessarily a huge amount to cheer about, but it is, I can't emphasise enough how important a game it is for both sides. And Neil kind of intimated that for Huddersfield, who are 23rd on 2 points, that for Danny Cowley to get his first win as the Huddersfield manager. But likewise, Nathan Jones is hanging by the smallest, thinnest of threads at Stoke. 4 wins in 33 games. They're 24th, also on 2 points. -1 goal difference is the difference between the two sides. But Nathan Jones is just hanging on, really is. And you'd imagine a loss tonight will confirm potentially his fate. And for Huddersfield, Danny Cowley's boys, important to get their first win under Cowley as they go forward over the next few months of this season. So that is Huddersfield, a massive game at the Bet365. Stoke against Huddersfield. We're going to be talking about Middlesbrough later in the hour. They had a pretty chastening home defeat against Sheffield Wednesday at the weekend. But up next, we'll be looking at Luton. They have got a home game up next against Millwall tomorrow night. They won 2-1 away at Blackburn. We'll be talking all things Luton next.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. As I mentioned a few moments ago, we're going to be turning our attention to all things Luton. I'm delighted to say that Ross Lawson, Luton journalist, joins us this afternoon. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Ross. Before we look ahead to this week's fixtures up against Millwall, let's look back at last weekend's 2-1 away win at Blackburn. How impressive a result was that for you, Ross?
Absolutely massive. We needed the win. We hadn't been performing particularly well in the games leading up to it, but to go to Ewood Park, be second best for pretty much most of the game, and then come away with 3 points is a really big result. And come the end of the season, not that we're looking that far ahead yet, that could be sort of one of the ones that we look at and think, goodness, how important was 3 points there.
Looking ahead then to tomorrow night's game, it's at home against Millwall. I suppose this isn't just a big game in terms of obviously fighting for 3 points and the fact that both sides are currently level on points, but in terms of the importance of it for obviously two London sides, how big a game is this for you?
I think it's really significant, as you said. Two teams who seem to have a bit of needle with each other, who sort of have a needle with a few other teams among them as well. And bragging rights is a massive part of it. To be able to get playing against these games, playing these teams again, and having these rivalries again, it's what Luton got back into the Championship for. It's what they're looking out for. These are the fixtures that you look out for right at the start, and to have it on a midweek as well under the lights is going to be a pretty decent occasion, and hopefully it's a good enough match to boot. As you said, both teams are level on points. 3 points at this time of the season is what they're both looking for. I think both teams should feel confident that they can go there and get them.
One man that's been in fine fettle at the start of this season for Luton is James Collins. 5 goals so far for him. Obviously, the questions over the summer were, could he make that jump from League One into the Championship and be a top goal scorer there. We've seen with, for example, Timu Pukki, he was fantastic in the Championship last season, started brilliantly at the start of this season, but has just started to fade away. Do you think there's a risk with James Collins that even though there's been an initial bounce at the start of the season, that he might not kind of continue that form throughout the season?
I think there's always that risk, but he's a man on confidence. He's a man scoring goals. He scored at Ewood Park. He had one chance and got his one goal. And I think that's what you look for in a striker of his ability. He's had another international call-up again. He's going away with Ireland again in the next break. And I think it's down to how much service he gets behind him. Are people putting the crosses in? Are people sort of working the through balls? Is that where he's going to get his opportunities? I think, as you mentioned there, Pukki, I think he's been stifled a little bit with Norwich not been playing particularly well and had limited chances. Someone of James Collins' ability, he's a goal scorer, whatever level you play at. That's something that's vital. People asked whether he could make the step up to League One when we got there. And now I think he's shown that he could do that in the Championship. He's got confidence. He's got the backing of the team. He's got the ability. He's got the support of those around him. And I think he might have periods where he doesn't get as many as we like. And I think every striker has that. It's about how you respond to that. And fingers crossed, even if he doesn't get the goals, there's people around him who are picking them up and showing what he can do, because he's got the most goals out of anyone, I think, in 2019 across all the top four divisions, and you don't get that by fluke.
Do you think that James Collins is the type of striker that, even if necessarily the team isn't playing brilliantly or not creating so many chances for him, that he can still contribute with a lot of goals? We're seeing it at Huddersfield. We were just talking about Huddersfield just a few moments ago, and the former Carlin Grant. Huddersfield are right down the bottom of the table, haven't won a game, but he scored 5 goals as well this season. So is he the type of striker, with what he brings to the side, that he's able to contribute not just in terms of goals but his overall performance, even if it's not a massively creative side or a side that's creating loads of chances for him?
Massively, I think. He's probably the most willing runner in the team. He's the amount of times you see him running down the channels, chasing down the ball and harrying. I think he does a big part of as you said, beyond putting the ball in the back of the net. He's a man who only needs one chance. So if that's the position he's in, then you're sort of backing him to be there. But as you said, it's not just the balls he puts in the net. It's his willing running, it's hard work, the way he sort of galvanises the team. He's the first one to shout at people when there's defensive lapse. I think he's a massive part of the team, both attackingly and defensively. You know, he's the man you want in there when a corner's coming in at the other end. And I think he's a big part of the leadership team in there and doing a massive job and sort of leading from the front in all kinds of aspects.
One thing that must be, though, a concern, Ross, for Luton fans is the defensive side of the game. I look through all of Luton's results so far in the Championship this season, and what strikes me is there have been no clean sheets for Luton in the league this season. Are there significant defensive issues, or is it a case of merely of just kind of individual mistakes at times, and just the simple fact of the matter that there are no clean sheets in the statistics doesn't necessarily suggest that it's fundamental, huge defensive issues?
I think it is an issue, definitely, because you know you can't be going through a season and not having clean sheets. If we are going to stay up, that's going to be the key to what we do. We need to be more careful in nicking these 1-0 wins and things like that. I don't think it's a hugely fundamental issue. I think there have been a few individual errors. In goal, there's been a couple. I think just individual players have made some. We saw right at the opening game of the season against Middlesbrough, which is on TV, some mistakes that crept in there. I think once we get sort of all players back fit as well, then we'll be okay. Martin Craney's one who's due to come back in at some point. The central defensive partnership, I think, is very solid. Yeah, and Sonny Bradley and Matthew Pearson, I think they should change. And I think it's just getting that consistent back four, which is what we did well for a lot of last season. Well, obviously, we had the two fullbacks who have now gone on to pastures new in the Premier League. That back four became very solid and worked really well. And I think while the defensive side of it is not working well, we're seeing the fullbacks attacking a lot. They're getting the space. They're making the runs. And you can kind of forgive the goals that go in every now and then. But obviously, yeah, we'd like it a bit tighter and making sure that they go in at the other end. But as long as they keep finding the balance and the team keep working hard and still gelling together in a new league that a lot of them haven't played in before as well. I think once they find the groove, then hopefully we can be settling down at the back a bit more.
How do you think Graham Jones is settling down and developing as a manager? Because he is still very, very new to it. Obviously, Nathan Jones, his namesake, moved on to pastures new and is on the verge of losing his job at Stoke. So how do you think that he is improving as a manager? What areas do you think he can still work on tactically? How do you assess him in the early part of his managerial career?
I think the biggest sign of any manager or any person in that position is how they bounce back from things not going right. Now, we had from, we had three back-to-back disappointing results at QPR and then against Hull and Leicester. And I think now the way he went and brought his team and sent them to Ewood Park and got a result, I think that's a massive sign of what he's capable of. I do think there is a bit of tactical naivety at places. I think there is still bits and pieces that need to be worked on, and that comes with time. And player selection is always going to be a contentious issue, whatever club you have. But I think it's promising. There's things for him to learn, things for us to learn as a club in the Championship. So you can't expect someone like that who's having his first job as a manager to sort of get it straight away. But he's I think he's doing the right things. He's making the right noises currently, and I think he'll only sort of get better. And getting a win like that, I know I harp on about it, but a win like that can be sort of really a real boost to him and his confidence, and that he instills in the team as well.
With Nathan Jones seemingly right on the verge and about to lose his job, you think if Stoke don't win tonight against Huddersfield, he could. Do you think most Luton fans are looking at that situation with, not glad, but sort of saying that's karma in some ways? Or do you think Luton fans have kind of moved on from that and don't really care what's going on with Nathan Jones? They've moved on. That was months ago, and they don't really care what's going on with Nathan Jones' situation at Stoke.
I think they do care, not just because of him leaving, but I think it was the way he left. He came with us as his first managerial stint, was a really passionate manager, sort of all the chest bumps and the high fives with everyone and things like that. And then for Luton fans, it felt like he left at the first available opportunity that came his way. And now it's people see it more as karma of Luton now being above Stoke in the table. I think it would be a shame for a manager to lose his job, but it's the same at any level. Sadly, I think that Luton fans are more gleeful at his demise more than anything. I have to say I'm the exception to most of that, because as I said, he is a manager, and you want other managers to get on well. You don't want people to lose their jobs and things like that. But I think that the feeling is that when Stoke are playing on a night that Luton aren't, you have more discussion about Stoke and how they're progressing than Luton and how you think they might shape up for tomorrow night, which is a shame. But I think it's the way it goes, and it would be a shame if he was to lose his job. He did wonderful things with us. It was just a shame from a Luton Town perspective that he wasn't there to finish the job and then get us into the Championship before thinking about his next move.
And just finally, then, Ross, the game tomorrow night is at home against Millwall at Kenilworth Road. Are you predicting all 3 points for Luton, or do you think the fact that both sides are locked on 10 points maybe suggests points towards a draw?
If you'd asked me that before the weekend, I'd have said a draw was the most likely thing. But I think the way we played, not just the result, but the performance as well, and how we sort of dug in and fought hard and created the chances at Blackburn, because Sanders and Gibbs said now sort of back us to the win. And last, before the Arsenal international break, we were heading into that with good form and good confidence. And I think we can do the same ahead of this one as well.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Ross. That was Ross Lawson, Luton journalist, looking ahead to Luton's next game, which is against Millwall tomorrow night at Kenilworth Road. Still no clean sheets, and maybe that's one of the things that manager Graham Jones is after tomorrow night. It's a long time, 9 games to be without a clean sheet, so a big game for Luton tomorrow night against Millwall. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We want to hear from you this afternoon. Up next, we'll be turning our attention to a club in the North East. This time it is a club in the North East. It's not in Yorkshire. It's Middlesbrough. A chastening experience on the weekend. 4-1. They lost at home to Gary Monk's Sheffield Wednesday. Jonathan Woodgate was angered, bemoaned his side's terrible display in that heavy defeat of the weekend. They're up tonight. A tough game against Preston, who currently sit 5th in the Championship table. So not easy for Borough. Where do they go from here? And is Jonathan Woodgate under any sort of pressure? Those are the sort of questions we'll be asking next.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Another geographical apology I have to make. Middlesbrough is in North Yorkshire, but it is still in the North East. So I apologise to anyone in Middlesbrough that's been offended by my saying it's not in Yorkshire, it is in North Yorkshire. I'm sure our next guest, we don't need to talk about geography anymore. I usually pride myself on my geography skills. I'm usually very good, but today has been an absolute mare. And the less we talk about it, the better. Let's talk about all things Middlesbrough. I'm delighted to say that Dominic Shaw, Borough Editor at Teesside Live, joins us this afternoon. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Dominic. It was a pretty scathing reflection reaction from Jonathan Woodgate after their 4-1 defeat at the weekend against Sheffield Wednesday. He said he can't expect the fans to come and pay to see performances like that. How kind of chastening a defeat was that for Borough on the weekend?
Yeah, it was very worrying. The first half was as bad as we were trying to think at half time when we'd seen a half at the Riverside as bad as that. And you're probably going back a decade to the game which ultimately cost Gareth Southgate's job when Borough got beat 5-1 or 5-0 to West Brom. And the first half there was dreadful. Borough were going well at that stage. It was early on in the season. The second half was better on Saturday, but it did reek of one of those games where if Borough had scored, then Sheffield Wednesday had knocked it up a gear and went up the other end and scored. It was just dreadful from start to finish. But Borough conceded an own goal in the first 5 minutes for the second week in succession, which obviously, game plan goes out the window then and you're up against it. But then they conceded a second soon after, and although Paddy McNair scored, Borough were never in it. They were second best. And I think what was so concerning was that's a pretty average Sheffield Wednesday side. And that, nothing against Sheffield Wednesday. The Gary Monk obviously found a game plan and it worked to perfection. But Borough are going to come up against better teams this season. But hopefully, as you say, he did speak well afterwards, and he has been very honest this season. When Borough were knocked out the Carabao Cup by Crewe, Woodgate was asked about the boos from the fans, and he said, "Well, if he was in the stands, he'd have booed as well." So he has been very honest and upfront, and the fans appreciate that. But then equally, he knows, and everyone knows, that you need performances and results on the pitch.
Woodgate described the first half performance as absolutely terrible. Do you think, to some extent, Borough got caught off guard, that they didn't necessarily expect Gary Monk, who's still new to the job at Sheffield Wednesday, to come out of the blocks firing? I think Stephen Fletcher's goal, when it went in, was in the 34th minute. Wednesday scored two times in the first 6 minutes. Do you think there was an element of being caught off guard by Woodgate's side?
I think Monk said afterwards he'd identified Borough's centre-halves as being vulnerable when it comes to dealing with crosses, and they took complete advantage of that. They played Andy New, who and Stephen Fletcher as a front two. I was talking to a chap who covers Sheffield Wednesday, was at the game, and he said that when that team news dropped, there was a lot of Sheffield Wednesday fans who were very sceptical, saying, complete lack of pace in that forward line. But it didn't matter because they went for the aerial route and they did take advantage of Borough. But that shouldn't be happening, really, because Borough have Woodgate chose to leave Daniel Ayala out, and that backfired on him because Borough missed his physicality. But they still had Dale Fry, who last week was talked about as being Manchester City and Spurs being interested in him. Ryan Shotton, who's played God knows how many games and has actually been rock solid for Borough at centre-half this season. So that shouldn't be an issue for Borough, but it is. And last season, as you know, they didn't score many goals, but they didn't concede many either. This year, I think what Woodgate's finding difficult so far is just finding that balance, maybe in chasing more goals, not being as solid at the back. And it wouldn't surprise me if he went back to wing-backs tonight in three centre-halves, but then last time they did that at Cardiff, they managed a single shot on target all game. So, yeah, there are issues at both ends that he needs to deal with.
We've been talking then about... Sorry, Dominic. We've been talking about the comments that Jonathan Woodgate then was making after the game. Pretty honest assessment. And for some fans, I think they will like that honesty and will appreciate that honesty. We sometimes criticise Premier League managers for perhaps revealing things that maybe should be talked about in private in a public sphere and revealing it in press conferences. Do you think that in this case, Jonathan Woodgate was right to come out with the honest assessment after the game? Or do you think maybe he should have left that to just in the dressing room, and what happens in the dressing room stays in the dressing room?
No, I think it was well within his rights, because sometimes, he didn't get personal with any player. It was just a reflection of the performance in general. And I think, if you lose by a single goal or a couple of goals, but when you lose 4-1 and you're 4-1 down at half time, I think it's hard to come out and and defender players. And the other thing, Woodgate's a Borough fan. He lives in the area. He grew up in the area. He's lived in the area for God knows how long. So he gets kind of what's going on and what's being said in the town and the general feeling. So I think he well knows that if he had to come out and blagged it and, you know, tried to cover up and do what Gary Monk did when he was here and just talk about the project and you know, the bigger picture and all that sort of thing, fans see straight through you. I think there were a few fans who were saying, you know, you can talk about your desire and wanting to play for the shirt, but there also needs to be quality, and the quality wasn't there. But it was a performance which makes you think, well, hold on, it's, you know, if that becomes a weekly trend, then Bury need to be very careful. But I still look at the players they've got, and the squad, maybe not the squad, but certainly the 12 or 13, where he's lacking his depth. But the starting 12 or 13 is strong and should be able to give most teams a game. The problem he's got is, and he touched on this afterwards, he said a couple of times that he brought Marcus Brown on, who he signed for £200,000 in the summer. And the reason he's making that point is, he's saying, and he's made that point since the window was closed, he doesn't have the squad depth. So from on the bench on Saturday, he had Steve Walker, who's a young academy lad, centre-forward, who's very good, but only 18. Marcus Tavernier, who's been around a few years now, but he's still only 20. Marcus Brown, who he signed. George Saville, who's kind of out the picture. So whereas when Gary Monk was here, the squad was far too big. And the depth was incredible. It's a bit like Stoke. When you look at Stoke now, I think one of Jones's problems there has been he's probably got too many options and the squad's too big. What Woodgate probably like a happy medium in that, you know, he's probably three or four players short from having the options to really ring the changes, which I don't think he can do tonight.
And just finally then, sorry Dominic, just finally, it's a home game against Preston tonight. I'm sure the home fans will be desperate for a much better performance than they saw at home on the weekend. Preston have made an impressive start to the year. How do you see this one unfolding? Will Jonathan Woodgate be able to get a win, or will hard times continue?
I think he'll get a reaction. I think Borough might get a draw. I think he'll get a reaction out of the players purely because of the way of how scathing he was both after the game and yesterday in his press conference. I think, you know, I was surprised at where Preston finished last season because I know they made a dreadful start, but the two games that played Borough, they were very good. I think Borough might have got 4 points out of them, or certainly six, or certainly four. But they were excellent. I think Alex Neil's an excellent manager. He's done a good job everywhere he's been. And I think it's a very difficult game for Borough. But I think he might get the reaction he's after and maybe a 1-1 draw.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, thanks, Dominic. That was Dominic Shaw, Borough editor at Teesside Live, giving his views ahead of a tough game it will be tonight for Middlesbrough, home against Preston, who are up in the playoff positions at the moment. So a tough game there. Remember, it's a full week of action in tonight. Obviously, we've got some games tonight and then a number more tomorrow night. In the Championship tonight, Blackburn host Nottingham Forest at Ewood Park. Hull against Sheffield Wednesday. Leeds beat West Brom at Elland Road. A massive game for Marcelo Bielsa's side. Middlesbrough, as we were mentioning, against Preston. Wigan host Birmingham. Fulham travel to Reading. And then Stoke against Huddersfield. What a massive game. And you never know if Nathan Jones's side don't get a win tonight, could we be talking this time tomorrow about Nathan Jones losing his job and potentially Stoke looking at a new manager? Tony Pulis has been linked with a return to the Bet365, so we'll have any latest on that tomorrow if it doesn't go well for Stoke tonight. So a massive game between Stoke and Huddersfield at the Bet365 in the Championship tonight.
This is Love Sport.